Round two saw an 89th minute try secure a famous win for Newcastle, a 35-all draw between two English rivals and Leinster's first defeat in the competition for 18 months. Heineken Champions Cup round three has a lot to live up to. Bath, Leinster, Racing Leicester, Exeter, Gloucester are just three of the mouth-watering matches to come across a brilliant weekend of European rugby. Stand by for a full preview on the Champions Rugby Show. Hello, I'm James Burridge. Welcome to the Champions Rugby Show, a new name for the podcast, the same old Tom May. Actually, I say the same old. You're ridiculously tanned. Where have you been this time?
I've been in Dubai for a week, thanks very much.
It's tough at the top, isn't it?
I wouldn't say we're at the top. We tried to get to the top.
That's what the other half tells you, isn't it? Nicky Robinson, I don't think you've been in Dubai.
I wish I had been, no.
That's fake tan.
That's just the Welshness silly me there.
If that's fake tan, he should get his money back. It's great to have Nicky Robinson with us, of course, formerly of Cardiff, Gloucester, Wasps and Wales. And fellas, it's been a while since October, hasn't it? I mean, you almost have to go back into the notes to remember what happened in the opening two rounds. But Nicky, there were some big matches there.
There were some really big ones, and kind of reading through and looking at, obviously, the autumn international since then, but looking at the Edinburgh beating Toulon, wasn't it? I mean, I know Toulon is struggling a little bit this year, but for Edinburgh to go and do what they did then, they've actually been a little bit disappointing in the Pro 14 since then. Obviously, Newcastle in the same group beat Montpellier with that last minute try, last play of the game try was brilliant from them.
Well, as usual, we've been gathering your thoughts from social media. Twitter, it's at Champions Cup. Search for European Rugby Champions Cup on Facebook and at European Rugby Champions Cup on Instagram. We asked, which team or player from European Cup history would you least like to face on consecutive weekends? Tom May, who did you hate playing?
I had to think about this, and I was just thinking, well, if I had to face Manu Tuilagi or Nemanja Nadolo 2 weeks running, back to back, you'd have nightmares, wouldn't you?
You still do, don't you?
Well, yeah. Yeah, with Manu, certainly. They're the sorts of players that can just pull something out of nothing and don't stop coming. I remember playing for Saints once against Leicester, and for 65 minutes, I just thought to myself, right, just stop him coming, and he just keeps coming, and then you start falling off. And if you had to do that 2 weeks running, that would just be an absolute nightmare.
Nicky?
I think that Toulon side of with Habana, Wilkinson, Gitto and Bastereau, especially as a 10, I think with Tom saying about the centre, you've got Bastereau coming at you, coming down your channel any chance he could. Once you've got rid of that, or if someone manages to tackle him, you've then got Gitto pulling the strings or running at you that can sidestep or put other players through holes. So like a side like that, you might maybe get close to them for 1 week, but you know the second week they're coming at you again, aren't they?
Well, next, a full preview of Heineken Champions Cup Round 3.
This is the Champions Rugby Show.
Well, as we preview Round 3, we'll briefly reflect on the Round 2 results, starting with Pool 1. Well, there were two remarkable matches. Toulouse 28, Leinster 27. That was a classic, and that interception try towards the end for Toulouse, absolutely pivotal. Wasps fighting back from 21-7 down at halftime. That was a 35-all draw. Wasps, Bath 35, points all draw. Tom May, two astonishing results, weren't they?
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching that Toulouse game, actually, because I think certainly a lot of people have, off the back of round one, where we saw Leinster completely tear Wasps to pieces. You sort of expected them to go over there, and Toulouse, I guess, sort of rebuilding their status as a club. It was fantastic to see them, you know, hold out, and actually, you know, they're second in the top 14. They're flying again and actually perhaps getting back to their best.
This question we've been asking, though, about who you'd least like to face. We've got Daniel O'Reilly on Facebook saying, I know this sounds very cocky, but as a Leinster supporter, there's no side in Europe that really fears me as a supporter. I know Toulouse beat us, but even during that game, right to the end, I personally felt we always had a chance to beat them. I'm always nervous against every team because, let's be fair, everyone wants to do both Leinster and Ireland. It's a great time to be an Irish rugby fan. There is a degree of truth in that, isn't there?
There is. I mean, watching that game, you always thought, well, Leinster will come back. They'll come back. They will get the win. But they didn't. And I think, as Tom said, it's great that someone like Toulouse like a great European side, that the top of their group, and let's be honest, what the competition needs is French sides with interest going through the end of the group stages, and you want Toulouse in that, and that's a great group to look at, especially when Toulouse are flying as they are. So like he's definitely right, but I think it's nice for everyone in Europe that the Leinster are beatable. I think that's great for the tournament.
The Pool 1 standings, Toulouse top with 8 points, Leinster with 6, Bath with 4, Wasps with 3. So Bath against Leinster. Bath were very one-dimensional, weren't they, Tom, against Sale in the Premiership. When they have possession, they just don't really seem as if they know what to do with it.
No, and I think you know, I guess I've banged on it about it about for 2 seasons now, but their inconsistency hasn't gone away. They can rely on the likes of Cocken and Singer and their sort of star players, Burns, the likes, to try and get them out of trouble or get them in trouble. Yeah. But, you know, I think this could be another one of those games where we see an English club completely undone by Leinster.
It's astonishing when you think about it, Nicky, as well. Particularly, you look at that back row of Bath, Lowe, Underhill, Mercer. That's a back row that most sides would cry out for.
Yeah, agreed. And look, they're going to have to be on top of their game because Leinster are so good at keeping the ball. And if your back row can't get on the ball and slow it down, you've got no chance in defence. You'll have to commit too many numbers. And if they get quick ball against you, with the pace and the power they've got on the back line, they're so hard to stop. So that back row is massive for them this weekend.
Well, and just get on that point, that the best game that we've seen from Sam Underhill came against the All Blacks, where the breakdown was a massive focus. So, you know, you're going up against Leinster, that's pretty much an international team. He's got to produce that again this weekend, and then that will be key to the outcome of that game.
Gervin Dempsey could be a key figure for Bath, obviously formerly of Leinster. And I know that Leo Cullen has been talking about the magic he fears he might be able to weave for Bath. But Dempsey's experience is going to count for something, isn't it, Nicky?
Yeah, he would do. Like, I'm sure he'll be giving insights to what the Leinster mindset will be. But I think everyone knows what they're going to be like coming over and how confident they'll be. And look, they will be disappointed after losing that game against Toulouse. And this is a big game for them. They can't come to Bath and expect to get a win. And obviously, Bath have been struggling a little bit the Premiership up and down season. But Tom said they're so inconsistent. They are capable of pulling out a massive performance. And this is almost a bit of a all or nothing for Bath, isn't it? If they lose this, they're probably out. So they can go out. There's no pressure as they get for the Premiership. This is about going out and playing the best side in Europe. And they've got enough big game players that can perform and get a win.
Let's speak to Kevin Maggs. Played 134 times for Bath, won 70 caps at centre for Ireland. Kevin, great to have you on the pod. Do you give Bath a prayer?
To be honest, no, I don't. you know, the impressive performances they've had of late, even with their sort of reserve team, if you like, leaves a little bit to be desired for anyone at this moment in time.
Where do you think Bath really have to try and... we've talked about inconsistency over the past few minutes and before for months, but where do they really have to try and sort their game out? Because they've got the players, haven't they? But it's just not working for them. It's not clicking as a team.
Yeah, I think you know, they'll really be tested defensively against Leinster. I think they've played them, you know, last year I know I watched them play them pre-season, and even some of their academy lads played in that game, and they were on the receiving end of that result as well. So they're going to be completely up against it, but I think defensively more so than anything else.
And Cocken and Singer, he's the standout player at the moment, but you have to wonder what he has to do to get the ball, because if it wasn't for players like Cooper Vuna on the weekend, Kevin, they have to get someone like him on the ball far more than they have done so far this season.
Yeah, I mean, even if you look at his try from the weekend, I mean, it's just his work rate off the ball. It's a kick ahead, you know, and he's won the race to get there. But you need somebody like that with their, you know, you need him on the front foot. You need him to get plenty of opportunities, and you need him with the ball in hand as many times as he can. But, you know, against Leinster, they will be starved of possession, and, you know, they can hold on to it for what must feel like hours when you're defending. But, you know, for like 8 or 9, 10, 25 phases, they can do that at will regularly. And so, you know, defensively, they're going to have to be on point. And the discipline at the breakdown is going to be crucial.
Mate, the Leinster back row, in fact, the whole pack is so good on that breakdown, aren't they? And when you get a Pro 14 side playing a Premiership side, Pro 14 tend to be more the kind of competition based around that breakdown area, isn't it? So for Bath, and you say defensively they've got to be good, but attacking wise they can't afford to try and overplay, can they? But then they can't kick the ball back to Leinster and then let them attack again. And so that area of them keeping ball and keeping possession is going to be vital, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, as you see from even the lads that played against the Dragons at the weekend, I mean, okay, at half time it was pretty tight, but then they just ran away with it, because once they get into their stride, you know, they are, you know, technically and tactically brilliant at times. And, you know, they can hold on to the ball exactly like Ireland for 40 odd phases and completely frustrate you as a defensive line. And if you give them any sniff or any chance of an overlap, they're going to take it. And Bath are really going to have their work cut out, both from an attacking point of view and defensively. I can see them really struggling, to be honest.
Contepomi's brought so much to Leinster since he's moved there as backs coach and a focus on attack. From your experience of him as a player, what do you think would be his strengths in developing that game at Leinster?
Well, I think when you look at the broad spectrum of experience they've got, right the way from Stuart Lancaster to Leo Cullen to Felipe, it's just phenomenal. I mean, the knowledge that's there, the amount of caps that they've got between all the backroom staff, it's just, you know, he'll want them to play heads-up rugby. They'll want to be able to keep the ball alive, move it to space and play quickly. And that's, you know, that is what we would recognise Bath of old to be like, to be honest. But they seem to have got away from that. It's almost like, you know, they're still trying to work out what the new Bath ethos is. And, you know, Felipe will obviously have that direct, that physical approach as well from Argentina. But, you know, they will want to play at tempo. And I think if they can get that tempo, I think it'll be a bonus point win for Leinster.
Kevin, great to have you on the pod again. Thanks very much indeed for joining us. Enjoy the weekend.
Okay, and yourselves. Cheers.
Kevin Maggs won 70 caps at centre for Ireland. He knows what's coming at the Rec this weekend. What about Wasps Toulouse? Nicky, one of your old clubs. What do you make of Wasps right now?
Well, you think they're struggling a bit in the Premiership, but they're still up in that, what, they fourth or fifth at the moment. Obviously, a tough game against Saracens on the weekend, and they're still haven't quite clicked, have they? They beat Bristol a couple of weeks ago, but Bristol got within a score of them towards the end, where I think Lima Sopoanga is starting to find his feet in there. Obviously, everyone knows how big of a loss Jimmy Gopith is at the moment. Nathan Hughes is back on the weekend. So, look, they're getting a few players back, but like, is it just the inconsistencies that there that they've got at the moment? Now, you'd fancy them at home against Toulouse, but with the way the Toulouse have gone in this competition so far, obviously beating Bath away, beating Leinster, they would really fancy this one as an opportunity to stay at the top of the table. So Wasps are going to have to pull something out, and like it's a tough year at the moment, whether just in that kind of dip at the moment, but with enough talent they've got there, you'd expect them to start coming up, and this could be a massive one for them. They've had some special days at Coventry, and this could be one that could really kickstart their season and get them back into this group.
And of course, it's the repeat of the 2004 final, which so many people remember. Tom, as a player, you're laughing at me. I know you weren't in it. Just
that was just savagely brutal.
as a player, though, Nicky was talking about Sopoanga. When you're a new 10 in a new club and an environment, how long does it take you to settle? Because bearing in mind, there's no Dan Robson either at the moment, is there? And that 9-10 partnership was key.
I think it takes time to settle. I'm just not that sure that you get given a lot of time to settle, because you're key to how the team functions. So it's pretty much get on the bike, get going. You know, we haven't got time to wait around, especially when the team are, you know, not functioning as well as they could do.
Well, Sopoanga was talking about how he feels he needs to be in the gym a bit more, doesn't he? He realised the bulk and the heft of the modern-day Premiership player was a lot different to what he was used to.
Yeah, but when you say that, I think some of the best players in the Premiership have changed shape. You know, they're athletes, they're smaller players, the decision-making players, and actually he can get away with that. You know, coming up against some of the back rowers that there are knocking around in the Premiership, and maybe that's sort of forming his decision just
right
to look
forward.
After him, yeah. Look after himself a bit more. I think, you know, going back to what Nicky said about Wasps and how he can see them pulling a win here, I just think Toulouse are really grabbing this competition and saying, right, we need to use this to get back to where we used to be. We've got the two top try scorers in the competition.
Lethal back three.
Nearly 40 offloads in two games. And that was an offloading game that was really bringing them down in the top 14. That's now functioning.
And you need a bit of luck, don't you? And you remember that Bath game when Burns missed the goal, he then dropped the ball. And you do need a little bit of luck, Nicky, don't you, in the close games. And let's be honest, Toulouse have had that. The intercept try as well, you could say that was slightly fortuitous against Leinster. So kind of everything is going Toulouse's way right now.
Exactly. And I think Wasser, you could have looked at the fixtures and thought, well, actually, Toulouse could be none from two and already kind of left this competition go. But they're not. They're two from two. And so that they'd be really looking at an opportunity to get another win, because you know Leinster are going to be there or thereabouts. Well, you'd be surprised they lose another game in this competition. So Toulouse have got to pick up wins. If they can beat Wasps away from home, that puts them in such a strong position, doesn't it? I know they'll have to go to Leinster, but even not even needing to win that game with the way the group could go.
Well, you'd fancy them next week cleaning up at home, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Well, this is the problem. It's return legs, isn't it? Yeah. If you get pummeled in the first,
yeah,
the away trip is
doing your reviews.
It's a lot less attractive,
isn't it? All again, yeah.
Saturday the 8th then for Wasps to lose. That's a 5:30 local time kickoff at the Rico on BT Sport 2 and BN Sports. We do predictions, Nicky. I'll go with Tom first.
For the Wasps to lose, I'm going to stick with an away win for Toulouse.
Nicky?
I think Dai Young's men will just have enough, but it'll be close.
And then Saturday also for Bath against Leinster. That's a 3:15 local time kickoff at the Rec on BT Sport 2.
I'll chuck in another away win. I'm going to go with Leinster.
I can't see. I mean, if Kevin Maggs, who can't, doesn't give Bath any chance at all. I think that Leinster will definitely have too much on there. Them losing away to Toulouse was a massive upset. Them losing to Bath would be even bigger than that. So I can't see that happening.
We've been asking you on social media, which team or player from European Cup history would you least like to face on consecutive weekends? Eunuch on Instagram says the Leinster team right now. And Leinster fan Colin Campbell on Facebook says, Clemor, they always seem to beat us. To Pool 2, where five-try Munster defeated Gloucester 36-22 in the last round. Gloucester playing that with 14 men, you remember, with Danny Cipriani's red card. And then Castra, well, they also played for more than half the game with 14 men. And that was a real humdinger against Exeter. They won that one 29-25. Let's have a look at the Pool 2 standings. Munster top with 7 points, then Castra with 5, Gloucester with 4, Exeter with 3, which takes us on then to Exeter, Gloucester. Now, again, Nicky, this is rather lucky. One of your old clubs, yes.
Lucky I played for so many teams.
Aren't we
lucky? Me and Tom,
ones?
We've covered around just all of Europe.
Pretty much. What of Gloucester? What do you make of them? And in particular, I want to ask you about your opinion of Ollie Thorley.
Ah, like he's on fire at the moment, isn't he? Like the length of the field try that they scored. Ben Morgan did amazingly well, turned the ball over, a little show and go, and then Thorley, he's an athlete, and that's what Tom talking about, athletes and support and things he needs to get in the gym. This guy is a pure athlete, he's a finisher. He's got areas he needs to work on, reading of the game defensively a little bit, but when he gets the ball in space, like he knows where the try line is, and he's on fire at the moment. And the way the Gloucester play, by keeping the ball in hand and getting the ball wide, that like he's getting plenty of ball, which is great for him. And probably the start of the year, would he have been first choice? With obviously Matt Banahan coming in, Charlie Sharples, eh, thinking would he come through? But like he's a Cheltenham boy and he's loving it at the Gloucester. And I think he's already become a bit of a shed favourite there.
Yeah, 4 tries in 3 Premiership games for Ollie Thorley. These two actually played each other in the Premiership on the 24th of November. Tom May, how much do you review a Premiership game when you've only literally just finished playing against them?
Oh, 100%. That's exactly where they'll be looking. They'll be looking at the weaknesses, the areas of the game that worked for them, those that didn't, players that they might be able to apply pressure to that can give them a bit of a advantage in the game. But these two teams, I mean, I would have put Exeter this season as 2 out of 2 at this moment in time.
Well, this has been one of the shocks of the start, hasn't it?
Exactly. And, you know, I think
they're bottom.
They're bottom and they're second in the Premiership, having only lost one game, which shows you how strong this competition is.
I mean, Annie Heifer said their starts haven't been great in patches. Where are Exeter vulnerable?
I can't believe I'm actually asking that question in round three.
But the thing is with Gloucester, they look at that game, they lost 23-6. And they didn't. They had a few 5-meter lineouts, to be fair, that they messed up. So there were opportunities within that. There was an interception try as well Alex Cuthbert got from Cipriani. So I don't think it wasn't a case of Exeter absolutely dominating that game and Gloucester were clinging on. It was that it was conditions really poor, and that interception try was a massive swinger in that game. So I think Gloucester will go there with a bit of confidence. I don't think Exeter are firing at the moment. So I think that that's a game that Gloucester think will think they can. They'll definitely try and target a losing bonus point. I think that's big. If they can do that, then it just keeps them in there. They've got to come away with something, and ideally not let Exeter get the five. But I think from the game 2 or 3 weeks ago, that they'll think, look, they're vulnerable. We can score. We've got to be more clinical. If we get to 5 metre lineouts, we've got to come away with something.
So I think Exeter, I think they would have backed themselves to be 2 out of 2. So I think that's why they rested some of their players this weekend, and they lost to Quinns, which no one would have picked, I don't think, either. But if you think that they go back-to-back against Gloucester and then they face Cast at home, I think they fancy them their chances of winning three games there.
Well, they ain't got any choice.
and then it's a lottery against Munster, and they'll have a good crack at it to try and get out of the pool.
Because Exeter rested during that Premiership Cup period, they rested all their players and they sort of gave 3 weeks off, whereas everyone kind of gave a couple of weeks and came back. So they played Bristol, their first Prem game. They were rusty there. They got a last-minute lucky win there, which wasn't a penalty try, but they won. And then, obviously, they've lost to Quinns. Now, is that kind of a bit of ring rustiness just getting out of the way and then they're going to be flying going into these? I think that's what Rob Baxter's hoping, that they didn't think they'd lose against Quinns, obviously. But now, actually, is that break, and now they've had a couple of games to get back into it. Now they'll be flying, you're right, kind of targeting 10 points next two games.
Well, training would be tasty this week, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not that sure that Exeter do a huge amount of contact. I think they play a lot of tough physical games, basically focused on them keeping the ball in play as much as they can. You know, the number of phases they rack up together, teams are almost on their knees sometimes by the time they sort of manage to turn the ball over. But yeah, they'll certainly be focused on you know, Southwest Derby in a Champions Cup where they wanted to get out of the pool. This is going to be big for Exeter.
We've been asking you which team or player from European Cup history would you least like to face on consecutive weekends. Sam Pigeon on Facebook says, wouldn't want my Chiefs to face Munster back-to-back. Luckily, we don't have to. And that's because, of course, they came unstuck in the first round. Munster then against Cast. Conor Murray is back, Tom May.
And finally.
Finally, after a long, long, long wait for everyone, really, but particularly for an Irish rugby fan, that whole Conor Murray debate was... kept going on and on, but he's back, and how much of a difference will he make?
Well, I think they functioned all right without him.
Seems to go all right, doesn't it?
They
Ireland did all right as well, didn't
yeah.
they?
Yeah, I think. Look, any side that adds him to the recipe, I think, are going to be boosted in some way. Cast are going to be the recipients of Munster's performance, and I see Munster really dominating this. And look, they spanked Edinburgh at the weekend, didn't they? Keith Earls got a hat trick, and I can see them, you know, unleashing on Cast this weekend at what will be an absolutely buzzing Toman Park.
Because Nicky, we talk about these next two weekends being so crucial. If Munster could get 9 points minimum, then they've pretty much got this pool where they want it.
Yeah, like Saturday's massive. You'd expect them to beat Cast at home. And then it's going away to Cast would be the problem. But I think Munster in the Pro 14 were a little disappointing the start of the year from me. They got heavily beaten by Cardiff Blues and were quite poor that game. Joey Carberry wasn't great. So I fancied Exeter to go well against him in the first round. Then Munster, I think it's just a European competition, how Munster and the history they've got there do manage to just lift themselves and to get that draw against Exeter and then the red card with Cipriani against Gloucester. So to where they are now of the win and the draw puts them top of the group. I think they really fancy it to get to finish top of this group, and that's a great opportunity for them, isn't it? If they can beat Cast this weekend, Cast may then look to kind of rest a few players for the home match, and then that puts it in a strong position to get 2 from 2.
And you've talked about Joey Carberry there. It must be a bit odd for him right now because he knows he's not the number one for Ireland, but then he still has these opportunities to play. But he knows that when it comes to Munster and European rugby, he has to deliver. He is their number one 10. A lot of it depends on him.
Yeah, like, and against Gloucester, he did deliver. He had enough time and space, and he ran the show, and like some of his touches were exquisite when they and what he can do. Cast will be different. They'll probably put a bit more pressure on him. It's going to be they'll try and make it more of a scrappy affair. As Munster want the ball they got against Gloucester and be able to move. It will be obviously a typically big French side around it. But Cast have got big wins in them. Whether they decide this weekend to do it in the pool stages, they will often have a good performance and then will, for whatever reason, not fancy a game, and Munster could easily come away with that. But they've got to be really, really careful and make sure that their first, against all French sides, make sure your first 20, 30 minutes is hard. Don't give them anything to feed off. If you can get 10, 15 nil lead, then Cass might lose a bit of interest.
I think also Cass are coming in on the back of having lost at home to Agen with pretty much their strongest team. So they're, I guess, teetering on the edge of being pretty low on confidence at the moment. So to go up against the Munster side that are just lobbing back in Conor Murray, then it's a pretty daunting task.
And the question we've had this week is, which team or player from European Cup history would you least like to face on consecutive weekends? I think if I was to throw one into the mix, it would be Anthony Foley from his days, and just seeing how much he really controlled the atmosphere and the tempo at Toman. And I suppose Munster of 2018, Peter Romani is probably that man. Do Munster have the menace of Foley's team when they were in their prime? Or have they still got some way to go?
Not when they're in their prime. They were pretty niggly back then, weren't they? They were like the Leicester of old, I think. They're one of those sort of gnarly teams that you could just rely on, go really tight and know that your forwards would sort of smash their way out of anything. I think they're getting there. You know, the likes of Stander in the back row, Romani, you say, you know, they've got players to rely on. But actually, they're only just, I think, in the past two and a half or two seasons, maybe coming back to the sort of historical Munster that we used to know, that will be at the top of the European competition year in, year out.
To the games then, Saturday, the 8th of December for Exeter against Gloucester, 1 o'clock kickoff local time at Sandy Park. That match is on Channel 4, Virgin Media and BT Sport 2. Tommy May, where's this game going?
I see this going the way of the home side, Exeter to win at Sandy Park for me.
Nicky Robinson?
I'm going to go with my old side of Gloucester. I think their confidence is flying at the moment. Beat Worcester in their local derby on the weekend. And I think going back down there, that I think they'll fancy. If conditions are good, I think it'll suit Gloucester. But I think they're definitely capable of getting something.
And that would be three Exeter defeats in Europe in a row. Be extraordinary, wouldn't it? Sunday the 9th for Munster against Castres. That's 1 o'clock kickoff local time at Toman Park on BT Sport 2, BT Sport 4K UHD and BN Sports. Tom May?
Munster.
Yeah, it has to be, doesn't it? But you never know, if they lost to Agen at home, they could definitely go and beat Munster away, wouldn't they? It's a typically
classic
French thing to do, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Anything's possible. Actually, Michael Coveney's gone in touch with us on Twitter saying, agreeing with me, really, Peter Romani is a living nightmare for any defence and a selfless team player. And London Bearded on Instagram also goes for the Munster skipper. When it comes to the player or the team who you'd least like to face on consecutive weekends, so many to pick from. Don't forget to get involved via the Heineken Champions Cup social media accounts, Twitter at Champions Cup. Search for European Rugby Champions Cup on Facebook and at European Rugby Champions Cup on Instagram.
For the latest news and the best content, go to HeinekenChampionsCup.com.
This is the Champions Rugby Show with James Burridge, Tom May and Nicky Robinson. Next, we'll discuss the other three Heineken Champions Cup pools, starting in Pool 5. Newcastle 23-20 winners against Montpellier. What a finish for that one at Kingston Park. Callum Chick with the 89th minute try. Were you in Newcastle for that one, Tom?
I was in my kitchen watching on my laptop. and my missus said, I don't think I've seen you ever get as excited.
No way.
Well, it was amazing. Well, I've sat there for 10 minutes just watching one phase or one long period of rugby. It was, and to topple a side like Montpellier in the manner that they did, like just physically battering them for phase upon phase and then scoring.
What's that done for rugby in Newcastle?
I guess you could say they're still 12th, so not a huge amount, but they're sort of two from two now in the Premiership.
Those are the moments
exactly
which define a team and, you know, enable it to kind of push the boundaries and try and get more people involved into rugby, bearing in mind the final's taking place in the very city in what, 6-7 months' time?
They've got a massive opportunity, I think, over these next 2 weeks. Having seen what's happened to Edinburgh in a couple of their Pro 14 games, it's not like coming up back-to-back against Montpellier or Toulon. And if they can win both of those, I think that puts them in a really good position to get out of this pool.
Because, of course, Edinburgh's victory over Toulon was equally as impressive, 40 points to 14. So the pool standings, before we get onto the meat and drink of this, Newcastle top with 8, Edinburgh was 6, Montpellier with 5, Toulon, who'd have thought it, Tom, with 1. And let's then go into Edinburgh, Newcastle. I mean, Richard Cockerill has had a bit of a rough time recently, Nicky, but in his wildest dreams, could he have thought that he is on the brink of doing something equally as impressive with Edinburgh, with a team which he doesn't have anywhere near the strength and depth of Montpellier or Toulon.
No, of course. I think things have changed significantly from beating Toulon at home 40-14 to then losing to the Dragons away from home and then getting royally kind of smashed by Munster on the weekend. Now, that's they were missing 20 players for the Dragons games and I think quite a few more for the Munster side. So it's not the same side that we're playing this weekend. They're missing lots with internationals and a few injuries. So it'll be a much better side. But those losses aren't going to be good going into this. But it could be a good change of focus from them, from the Pro 14 stuff, to be able to come back. But it depends on how that's affected them the last kind of 2 months, what kind of side they are. And actually for Newcastle, this is huge. And they can easily get, they would look at this going, we can get two from two. And the French side could easily beat each other. They could be almost there with a good couple of weekends. So I go back to the point of how big was that win against Montpellier. I think that's big if they get a home quarter final, doesn't it? Something like that. By beating Montpellier and then getting the home quarters to come out of the group would then be massive. That's when it kind of changes the rugby a little bit, doesn't it? And brings in those other more people. So like the next two weekends are massive for both those because they'll look and they've got opportunities.
And Joel Hodgson is the leading point scorer.
How many fans across the Champions Cup would have gone, who's he played for again?
Yeah, 27 points so far. Joel Hodgson, leading point scorer. You couldn't believe it, could you? And of course, you know, Mark Wilson, who, you know, was doing great things for England, goes and scores another last-minute try against Northampton in the Premiership. He's not being rested. He's got to be rested at some point, but that back row battle, Tom May, will be absolutely key, won't it?
Yeah, well, he won't be rested over the next couple of weeks. And, you know, you look at their mix in the back row.
Gary Graham coming back as well.
Gary Graham, yeah, definitely. Hardy, who's just joined front, well, he was at Edinburgh, wasn't he? But I think Wilson, he'll add a certain amount to what Newcastle have got. How disappointing are Toulon, though, at the moment? It's just mind-boggling.
Do you want to talk about your old team?
Yeah, like, I have to get this off my chest. So you've got players like Tuasova, Surveyor, Bastereau, Fekitoa, Ikpofan and JP Peterson. You cannot play all of those guys together because it is obvious what they're going to do. You're playing Surveyor at 12. He's just going to tuck it and run. Now, they might be good players, but the majority of people in the Champions Cup know what they're doing when it comes to tackling. And if you know that people are really direct, how they're going to try and attack. When I watched Newcastle play Toulon, and actually a bit in that Edinburgh game, it's just so direct and predictable.
So actually the loss of Ashton has been bigger than...
No, the loss of Randrandra is the key.
You're right, yes.
Ashton fed off him and knows exactly the best support lines to pick. Losing someone like that, they need to get a 10 that dominates a game. They've got two young fellas that I think they're relying on too much. And you've got Tranduk, who is up and down hugely. But they're just so disappointing. What will happen if they don't, you know, they won't get out of this pool. But
what about the top 14? I mean, surely that's the number one concern.
They're clawing their way back up that league very slowly. Beat Grenoble this weekend 22-3 and now find themselves in the lofty heights of 10th. So, you know, this is for a side that, you know, what have we seen over the past years they produced in this competition? Amazing fall from grace.
And Gerardo's off at the end of the season to join Montpellier, the team he's playing this weekend. And of course, we've got two 10s here, and Aaron Cruden's having a bit of a nightmare at the moment. Certainly last week, he pulled a hamstring.
So did you call Tom May a 10 then?
I just noted that down.
I just thought, hang on a minute. It
depends what day of the week.
And then he'll go, oh, we've got a former winger here.
Yeah. This is opposite land, is it?
One thing he won't be is number 8. But Aaron Cruden, more generally, had a bit of a shocker last week in the top 14. He has not made much of an impression, Tom, has he, at Montpellier?
They haven't got their money's worth as yet, but he's had moments in patches. I just don't think that team is performing at a level that you would expect from them. The coaching setup they've got is amazing. The players that they have at their disposal are amazing. They've struggled a bit with injury, and you know they lost Cruden. Stain was gone, and then who else was gone? There was someone else gone, and Pienaar stepped up. So you got, you know, he's your fourth choice fly half. So things aren't that bad in the Montpellier camp. They just need to try and get themselves out of the hole they find themselves in.
To the matches then, Friday the 7th of December, Edinburgh against Newcastle, a 7:45 local time kickoff at BT Murrayfield. That's on BT Sport 2 and 4K UHD. Predictions, Tom May.
This is a tight one.
This is a real tough one to call, isn't it? This is.
We'll get a decent crowd in Murrayfield for this one as well.
Yeah, they will. The Geordies will travel en masse, having a good time in Newcastle on a Friday afternoon. I think I'll go for a Falcons win.
Nicky?
I think the Falcons as well. I think Edinburgh are just in too much of a dip that even a European Cup game will get them out. I think Newcastle are just loving this competition, aren't they? And there's, their league position doesn't reflect the quality in their side.
Saturday, the 8th, Toulon against Montpellier. 3:15 kickoff GMT, 4:15 kickoff local time at the Stade Félix Mayol. Tom,
you got a coin, mate?
I was going to say, you don't look as if you've got a foggiest of an idea.
Wow. Toulon, because they're at home. But quite equally, they could get destroyed. Got no idea on that one.
Nicky?
I'm going to say a draw.
A low-scoring draw, I think.
6-6 draw.
Yeah.
Fabulous. Yeah. BN Sports, BT Sport 3 for that one. So, Nicky, did you actually just give me a prediction there or not?
I went to, and then I was rudely interrupted by your co-presenter.
You get used to it in the studio. Just a word on our round two predictions. We had Rory Lawson in last time. He got 4 out of 10. Rory, if you're listening, Tom, you did one better for a change, slightly better this time. 5 out of 10.
Out of that and send it to him.
With the late Newcastle try against Montpellier, reversing the scores in Tom's favour. And so whilst you take that picture and send it to Mr. Lawson, we'll crack on with pool three.
Do I still not to give my prediction on this one?
No, you're cutting across him.
Just, will you be quiet? This is what you do. You interrupt. It's what your teacher must have said about you as well, Thomas. Nicky Robinson.
I'll go Montpellier. There we are. Carry on.
There you go.
Thank
you. Nice and simple. Pool three next. Saracens will look pretty comfortable at the moment, beating Lyon 29-10 at Allianz Park, with the bonus point win putting them in the driving seat in pool three. And Glasgow, well, they also had a bonus point win last time out, 29-12 victory over another of Nicky's old teams, Cardiff Blues. So pool three looks like this. Saracens top with 9, Glasgow with 5, Cardiff with 4, and Lyon yet to score. Let's look ahead to this weekend, starting with Lyon against Glasgow. What should we expect, Tom, of Lyon? Because I know you keep a close eye on the top 14. They're 4th at the moment, and you just sense with Pierre Mignoni, that's where his priority must surely be lying, because Lyon just haven't really come to town in Europe yet.
They haven't yet, but they did. During the last round, they were sort of having a bit of a wobble in the top 14, and they've managed to sort that out. So knowing the competitive nature of Pierre Mignoni and how he'll want to try and do well in this competition, because they've made strides in the domestic league. You know, there's no way they will want to finish this European campaign in the position they find themselves at the moment, especially with the big fat zero in the points department. You know, they got a good win at the weekend against Po, 30 points to 10. I just think they might do okay against Glasgow. I think, you know, Glasgow are flying high in the Pro 14, aren't they? I fancy Lyon this weekend. I think they'll do okay.
Because they've let slip 2 leads in both the games so far, Nicky. Lyon have been up at half-time, but they've never managed to seal the deal.
Yeah, like the Cardiff Blues win is definitely their best performance of the season and really unexpected, especially when they went down. But I've watched Glasgow the last 2 weeks and they've been exceptional. Even on against the Scarlets, Scarlet took a good side up there. Jonathan Davis was back for them. And the Glasgow had a man sent off after 20 minutes and they managed to hold on for a pretty comfortable win, really. It's only an interception try that got Scarlets quite close to them. And they've been so good in attack. The way we talk about Leinster and how well they keep the ball, Glasgow were so good. They kick the least out of anybody in the Pro 14. They have a lot of turnovers, but that's just the way they play. But Nico Matuwalu scored 5 tries in the last 2 games and has been on fire, man of the match a couple of weeks ago. Nick Grigg is massive for them in the centre as well, playing really well. And Adam Hastings to come back into the side.
I was going to say, how much you change? Because obviously they've been playing really well during the autumns.
Yeah,
and then you've got virtually the whole of Scottish back line coming back.
Yeah, they brought 7 players, came back from the didn't play in their last autumn international for Scotland. So they had 7 players that came back. So Tommy Seymour came back.
Ali Price came back.
Yeah, the back rows came back. So they brought a few back for that one. Then they rested more for the Scarlets game. So there was a weakened side against Scarlets as there was against the Cardiff Blues. They'll all come back in this weekend. So the way they're playing, I'd be really surprised they don't get a win there. They're high on confidence at the moment. And they look like a squad that are really kind of keen to kick on this season.
What about Saracens against Cardiff then, Tom? I mean, surely this is the thing, isn't it? For the likes of Cardiff, who were so impressive in the Challenge Cup, and Tom and I were lucky to be in Bilbao for that final, the way they've played and they've kind of taken on Europe has been very impressive, continuing that in Lyon, but surely against Saracens.
Well, yeah, they did. They did very good against Lyon and then poor the following week against Glasgow and didn't get anything from that, which pretty much sums up their season. They've been too inconsistent. They were poor against Glasgow and they do a lot better away in Ulster on the weekend, but had a loss. And we talk about which side would you not want to play back-to-back. This Saracens team has got to be up there, hasn't it? And that's what faces Cardiff and to go away to them this weekend. They need their key players to really stand up. Obviously, Ellis Jenkins being missing.
I was about to say, the key players are missing, aren't they? Navidi as well.
Yeah, look, the back row with... They've still got Ollie Robinson and Nick Williams, but you need those guys to stand up and really play. Obviously, Jared Evans and will hopefully be playing with Gareth Anscombe. They need those guys in the back line. Gareth Anscombe was exceptional out in Lyon. He's been very good for Wales in the autumn. They need their best players on the pitch, so he may be 15 and Jared at 10. Because they're going to need to score points and the defence has been a little bit inconsistent the last few weeks. Normally been really strong, but you need your Willis Halaholo, your Ray Lilos in the centres, the guys that can create things against a very solid defence. That's what they need to stand up this weekend.
And isn't that the interesting thing, Tom? Because you've got someone like Anscombe, personally, who wants to be Wales's number one choice at 10. But actually, when he plays for Cardiff, to suit the team, he has to play at 15. Because it helps with the shape. So
it's a bit like me when I was moved.
In your dreams.
Travelling reserve.
Get to fullback. You're only about 3 foot tall, yeah, but it fits the team. Yeah. I think Nicky touched on it, that Cardiff missed 24 tackles at the weekend. They gave away 13 penalties. You do that against Saracens, you don't even have a chance. You might as well not turn up. Owen Farrell's had a rest this past week, and that, you know, they manage their players so well at Saracens. They can bring him back knowing that the other England contingent are knocking about as well. You know, I think the team that Saracens can put out at the same time as managing their players puts them at a huge advantage, so that when they come into games like this, they can really apply pressure to teams that will ultimately crack. And I think that's a real concern for Cardiff, their the defensive performance and their discipline moving into a game where that's exactly what Saracens try and prey upon.
Which is why people like LJ Hutley and Marlon Clark on Instagram say Saracens at the moment, and particularly the 16-17 vintage, are one of these big, dangerous teams, the least likely team you would want to play in European Cup rugby at the moment. You guys have already alluded to it.
Yeah, but you know, I think Nicky and I were also coming at this from a slightly different angle. A lot of these responses to this question are coming in and sort of looking at these teams that, you know, play this amazing rugby. Nicky and I are thinking, like, who is that one individual that just run at you and bowling ball you week in, time and time again, and then you got to do it all over again? We're coming at a sort of terror angle. We're coming at it.
Yeah, 8, 12 or left wing was always the one. Left wing off a scrum.
The most terrifying player you played against, Nicky?
Do you know who I really didn't like playing against? It was a winger who used to play for Llanelli called you didn't play for Llanelli, did you, Tom? No. Celesi Finau. There's not a chance he would be able to play in rugby these days, because the way he tackled, but the way he carried the ball, he was about Tom's height, but actually big and strong as well.
Can you come again next week?
And he was really nasty and aggressive as well. So he was one I didn't enjoy playing against, and he'd love to run straight at a 10 as well. So those are kind of wingers that
George North in his prime would be exactly that. He'd
for you,
that.
It was George North.
I had a bad experience against Celesi Finau. I had one-on-one with about 15 metres, and I thought, I can't do it. It's back in the days we didn't really you have to use your arms. So I just tried to throw my body into the middle of his legs. Like,
so the coach thought you were making an effort at tackling.
Oh, well, it was an effort. He fell over, but I didn't have a clue where it was.
He was so hard to tackle, though, because you couldn't go anywhere without him boshing you off or going too high and hand you off.
The glory days, hey. Sunday the 9th of December, Saracens against Cardiff. That's a 1 o'clock kickoff local time at Allianz Park on BN Sports, BT Sport 3. No prizes, Nicky, for guessing where you think this one will go.
I'd love to say that Cardiff would get some. And there's a part of it that thinks they can. They've got the quality there and the self-belief. It's new coaches coming in this year from the back of Hamlet Bilbao. And I think they're still finding their feet. But they've shown this year that there's performances where they can. Beating Lyon away was massive. They beat Munster at home really well. They just lost to Leinster, the last play of the game. So, look, they can do. It's just whether they're in the right frame of mind to do it. And, like, Welsh sides playing against English opposition love it in Europe. So, like, there could, if I had to say an upset, I'd like to say that's possible.
Tom?
Saracens. I just can't see Cardiff bouncing back from last weekend's performance.
What about 24 hours earlier, Saturday the 8th for Lyon against Glasgow, 1 o'clock kickoff GMT, 2 o'clock kickoff local time at the Marmoux Stadium de Jalon. BT Sport 3 and BN Sports for this. Where's this one going, Tom?
I know how well Glasgow performed last weekend, and I know Lyon haven't exactly got off to a flyer in this competition. I've got a feeling that the home side might win this, so I'm going to go for Lyon.
Nicky?
No, I'm all on Glasgow there, the way they've played the last few weeks and the way they keep the ball, they'll frustrate Lyon. The multiple phase game, I think, will break them down. If it's an open, loose game, Glasgow all day. If Lyon can make it more of a set-piece structure and driving line outs, that type of game, then Lyon can. That's the only way I can see them winning it. But if it's loose and open, then Glasgow will love it.
To pull four, which demonstrates how long ago October was, because Leicester ended a run of five consecutive Champions Cup defeats. They beat Scarlets 45-27. And here we are in the first week of December, Tom May, and they've lost six straight games and they have been thumped at Bristol. And I mean,
don't underestimate Bristol.
Yeah, okay, but, given. Yeah. But what about Leicester? What is going on there?
Jordan Murphy did come out post-match and say, we're in a hole, didn't he?
Yeah.
To say that, you're like, wow, that's bad for a coach to say that.
Especially when at a club with the pride that Leicester have. I think hole is probably pretty light.
He may have said deep hole. I'm not sure.
but for them to be able to, you know, have just disappeared over the edge of a cliff and be having results like this, we go back to your point about Munster's pack. The Leicester pack of old would have literally dragged this Tigers team back
actually,
to where it needs
to be. When you look at that Leicester pack,
I'm not quite sure.
They're not really household names, are they?
Even if they're not household names, you haven't got the sort of nastiness in there to just go, I'm going to take this with us. You know, maybe Ellis Genge is one of those, but he's a young player. This weekend has the potential to get very ugly for Leicester.
Doesn't it, Just? And we'll look ahead to that in a second. Because, of course, they're playing Racing, who thumped Ulster in their own inimitable way, 44-12 at La Défense in Paris. To the pool standings, Racing currently top with 9. Leicester, I mean, they're still in it with 5. Ulster with 4. Scarlets with 1. So Scarlets at Ulster first up. And, well, Nicky, where are Scarlets at the moment? Because at this stage, precisely a year ago, they'd also lost their first two games, and then they won the next 5 and got to the semis.
And got hot to get home quarter final, didn't
they? Yeah, to La Rochelle.
Yeah, like, I think they'll definitely fancy getting 2 wins against Ulster. I think it's worked out well for them with the way that's going. Ulster are going okay this year, but it's been a tough kind of 18 months for them. So they're still rebuilding, and they would definitely fancy, they'd be disappointed they didn't get a 5-point win at home. Not being too disrespectful to Ulster, but that's the way where Scarlets are. And I mean, look at that score, that they got beat by 45 points, 27 against Leicester. I mean, where Leicester are now is a bit of a kind of embarrassment to Scarlets, and where they are in European rugby, in my opinion. So losing close game against Racing has put them behind the eight ball. But in that group, I still think that there's not a Leinster or a Munster or a Saracens way of thinking, you're not going to get a win. They could go and win their next 4 matches in that group and easily finish top again.
Tom, though, I suppose the difference for Scarlets is the pack is not as intimidating. The likes of Byrne isn't there anymore. John Barkley obviously has gone back up north of the border. So if they do have an Achilles heel, Scarlets, it's right from 1 to 8, isn't it? That they don't really have much ballast there.
I think they've still got good enough players. I think it's a pretty tough one to call this. I think Ulster, they rely quite heavily on John Cooney, don't they, to get them around the field and manage their game. And they're probably not as strong as Scarlets, and they probably don't have the ability to play the game that Scarlets do, which I think sort of lends this fixture towards the Welsh side. But I think to say that their forward pack is certainly not as strong as their back play, and that's a big differential. But you know, they have the potential to turn it around. You know, they did it last year, so why can't they do it? Why can't they do it again?
Ulster have already said this week that they're shooting themselves in the foot, Nicky, far too often. They're conceding too many penalties, and they've got to be clinical, haven't they, against the Scarlets, Ulster?
Yeah, they will have to be this week. Scarlets will be disappointed, really hurting after that Glasgow performance, because it was very un-Scarlets, like defensively a little poor, and attack really kind of poor, losing too much possession. And look, they rested a few boys, so Ken Owens will come back, who was massive for them. Jake Ball went off with a head injury against Glasgow.
they'll need him back, whether he can turn that round and come back. Because as you said from last year, when you've got Byrne, James Davis, Barkley, Jake Ball, people of that, that's when you're getting those turnovers, which they were so good at. And then you get turnovers and you play with the backs that they've got, with John Davis, Patchell back. Keane Fonatier has been playing really well this year since he moved from the Ospreys. Steph Evs there. So look, they've got Halfpenny, hopefully he'll be back. So they've got the backs, and say that the front row is and the pack is where they've probably lacked a little bit this year, which is always going to be, you lose Ty Byrne, you're going to always, it's almost irreplaceable with someone like that, of how he was playing last year. But when James Davis has been missing as well, then that's where that gap is probably exposed a bit more.
Right then, to Racing 92 against Leicester. The defence training session at OB this week, Tom, will be very interesting if you're in the Leicester Tigers team. I mean, defensively, why are they getting it wrong? I mean, this is a star-studded back line at Leicester.
Yeah, I don't think... they'll all know the system they're trying to employ. But when you're lacking confidence, it just causes problems in your, I guess, the trust around you. You can say, right, I trust the player next to me. But if you're on the back of the results that they are on the back of, they're constantly thinking, this isn't going quite to plan, or I'm not 100% sure what he's going to do. Even though I'll openly come out and say, oh, we back each other. Subconsciously, they know that things aren't functioning. And if that's the case, defence is the first thing that falls apart, and that's when it falls apart big time as
well. So are they playing as a team of individuals?
No, I don't think they're playing as individuals. I just think collectively they're lacking confidence, which makes it look like they're sort of going off script, or because you lack confidence, things break down, systems break down, because no one backs, not each other, but they're not quite sure that they're good enough to get that system in play, if you see what I mean.
But Nicky, how easy is it to restore a defence when you know you're leaking like a sieve?
Look, it's tough, and it's not something that happens overnight. That's something that gradually comes back into it. I mean, if you compare Glasgow, who got a man sent off after 20 minutes, they went on and beat Scarlets comfortably. Leicester got a man sent off and then conceded 45 points. So it's not as if, well, we got a red card, that's it, we were always up against it. Side and side of Glasgow, which are completely opposite, going, right, we've had man sent off, actually, let's go again. Speaking to John Humphreys, who's their forwards coach post-match, and they've made this thing of when the back's against the wall, they almost go, right, we're going to go again off this. It's almost a collective strength they've got. And Leicester, because of things aren't quite going right for them, then people start kind of grumblings around, oh, well, we haven't got these players, I haven't got the pack of before and this and that. And then suddenly, then questions get asked, there's doubt there, and then people start trying to solve things as individuals rather than as a collective. And that's when more errors happen, and suddenly you're going, well, how we just conceded 30 points or 40 points and that without actually, we're not a bad side, we're not bad players, but suddenly things just go against you like that.
I think the other thing is that these games, look at the Premiership and how competitive that is. You know, Newcastle 4 points off being sixth in their bottom. You know, when it unravels in a very, very ugly way for you, and it feels like it's out of control. You know, I've played in teams where literally you cannot stop the rot. And it's a bit like, I found, like goal kicking, if you overthink one thing and you really focus on your breakdown defence, and then everything goes to pot in your phase play defence, and you think, all right, we'll focus on this week. And then it's almost like you can only remember one thing.
So how do you get it back then?
Well, just graft. And a bit of like, you get one performance and you get something like, you know, one or two people will make two enormous defensive hits. Suddenly, oh, we're all into this now. And the system feels more comfortable. And you probably need another team to be off their game to get yourself back into that position.
So let's speak to Leo Faure, who's a rugby journalist from the French newspaper Midi Olympique, friend of the pod. Leo, lovely to have you on again.
Hello, guys.
So are Racing going to be that team which are going to allow Leicester an opportunity to get some confidence? So are they going to have an off day this weekend, Racing 92?
Racing this weekend was playing in La Rochelle. Actually, they lost. It's never easy to play them, especially because they have a big focus on the European Cup, since they lost twice in final, and they've been French champion 2 years ago in 2016. And definitely their main focus is now on the European Cup. So if you watch the team played in La Rochelle last week, they had a lot of turnover. Many main players were not on the pitch. I think they're really focused on this game against Leicester, and they'll be ready, honestly.
With regards to Racing, how do you think they've changed since Dan Carter's left? Because I think there was a lot of focus put on Dan Carter as being the sort of saviour of Racing. But actually, I see the way that they're trying to attack the game now, Finn Russell's been more key to that than Carter ever was during his stay in Paris.
It's not only about Carter and Finn Russell. It's a team that totally changed their way to play when they changed stadium, when they moved to the arena with a stadium but covered with a roof and with a synthetic pitch, and they decided to play a much more fast rugby, a much more positive rugby, less based on physicality but more on speed. And Finn Russell is a part of this. Dan Carter, honestly, was a little bit, had hard times in Racing in the end because he was a lot injured and, well, we're getting old, he was a bit slower. The last year was a bit hard, rough for Dan Carter. They play much better with Finn Russell, honestly. He definitely fit what they want to do now, with Vakatawa, who played in centre, with Imo, Teddy Thomas, Zibo also, Simon Zibo, who has an outstanding year. It's a team, yeah, who changed, and Finn Russell fit more, I think, than Dan Carter, than the old Dan Carter.
And with Donica Ryan kind of adding that experience and that gnarliness in the pack, Leo, and the likes of Zibo out wide, are Racing the team that could win this competition, do you think? If Leinster are 5-10% off, could this be Racing's year?
They are one of the teams who can get it anyway. They've been twice in final in the last year, so they have the players, the main players are here. I think Leinster is over everybody, but then as Clermont, on the French side is the main threat. I really think that because they have the experience. Toulouse is in a great period, but with a young team who doesn't have the experience yet. On the French side, it's my favourite. If I'm honest, Leinster sounds very hard to beat. But after them, Racing will be one of the favourites, yes.
And you've spoken about Toulouse there. I mean, we've been impressed by the way they've started, and they've kind of gained a lot of energy from the opening 2 weeks. They've had a bit of luck, but they do, certainly that back three is so dangerous, and they seem to be growing in confidence as the season progresses.
They do, because also in top 14 they have this very dynamic rugby, very positive rugby, and they had these two wins in European Cup, very important in Bath, quite lucky one, but they did the job, and they did an amazing job against Leinster. They grow in confidence, but it's still a young team, a very young one. Check out, they play with Dupont, who is only 22 at scrum half, with the young Romain Tamac, the son of Emile, who played number 12, he's only 19 or 20. All these guys, and many of them, the front row is also very young. I definitely think for European Cup, you need experience in the hot times, in the money time, and they can miss that. It's a very enjoyable team to watch. Are they ready to be a European champion? I'm not sure.
Talk about enjoyable teams to watch, Leo.
Definitely.
Toulon and Montpellier, not so enjoyable right now. Talk to us about those two teams.
They are both teams playing a kind of old times rugby. Not so old, but a few years ago when it was more based on physicality. When Toulon got European champion, actually, they based their rugby on their pack, what was massive. Montpellier had this with many South African players. And they are not really enjoyable to watch, that's true. And they are really, really in troubles, both European Cup and Top 14.
Leo, great to have you on the pods, as ever. Thanks very much indeed for joining us, and enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, guys.
Yes, great to have Leo with us, rugby journalist from the French newspaper Midi Olympique. To the fixtures then, Friday the 7th for Scarlets against Ulster. That's a 7:45 kickoff local time at the Parky Scarlets on BT Sport 3. Nicky, where's this one going?
I'd see a home win for Scarlets there, a comfortable one for them. I know they were there a couple of weeks ago in the Pro 14, also had a very young side out, and Scarlets had a comfortable win, but I can see it being another one, especially after they would be really disappointed from that game last weekend against Glasgow.
I'll stick with Nicky on that one. I'll go with a home win as well.
What about Sunday the 9th then? Racing against Leicester. This is going to be a game to watch. 3:15 kickoff GMT, 4:15 kickoff local time at the La Défense Arena in Paris on FR Dur, BT Sport 2 and BN Sports. Bring your tin hat if you're a Tigers fan.
Not sure it's a game to watch if you're a Leicester Tigers fan. I think this could be horrible. I'm going to go with a Racing win.
Yeah, you have to, though. And the way they played against Ulster, weren't they? They were on fire, so you can't see anything different apart from that.
Well, don't miss out on your Finals Weekend 2019 tickets. Those on general public sale for the Heineken Champions Cup final at St James's Park are getting scarce. So book now to avoid disappointment through HeinekenChampionsCup.com. Next, we'll talk about the European Rugby Challenge Cup, which will also conclude at St James's Park during finals weekend.
You're listening to the Champions Rugby Show, the official European rugby podcast.
This is the Champions Rugby Show with James Burridge, Tom May and Nicky Robinson. Let's talk now about the European Rugby Challenge Cup. Tom, Nicky, I mean, your standout results, Tom, from round two in the Challenge Cup.
I think there were some pretty big results, Claremont beating Timisoara Saracens. But I think the result that stood out for me was Worcester putting 27 past the Ospreys. And it almost kick-started their season a bit. They started to get a bit of momentum after that game.
So, Nicky, which matches stand out for you in round three?
I think the Dragons are going to find it tough to go to Northampton. They're in a tough group, obviously, with Claremont as well. So they've got a tough couple of weeks coming ahead, especially with their, they got battered by Leinster on the weekend. And Connacht, Perpignan, and Connacht always kind of have a good go at this competition. They did well in Europe last year as well. So look, they'll be tough to beat at home.
Tom?
Two games I'm going to look for. Bristol against La Rochelle. I think that'd be pretty interesting. Two teams going pretty well in their domestic competitions. And then having spent a bit of time with Mark Quater this week, he's banging on about how Sale are really keen about their game away at Bordeaux. They're quite keen to do something over there. So that'd be pretty interesting.
So for all the latest on this competition, follow at ER Challenge Cup on Twitter and go to the European Rugby Challenge Cup page on Facebook.
Next, James and Tom play Champions Fantasy Rugby badly.
Hang on. Who decided to play that?
Did you ask for that?
No, I did not. Producer Danny is...
He's done us.
He's done us properly there, like a kipper. This is Champions Fantasy Rugby, where you can pick your teams on HeinekenChampionsCup.com, and you can play the daily fantasy game or the classic version, which Tom and I are trying to do. Don't forget, three special cards to play on a single round of your choosing, wild card for unlimited free transfers, a player triple points card, and a team double points card. Mr. May, I've made a few changes this week. I have got, well, because Vinopola's injured, so I brought...
Oh, well done.
You look as if you couldn't care less, so I'll tell you anyway. Stander in at number eight,
yep.
And Ramos in at fullback from Toulouse.
Mm, nice. Had a shocker in round two. So round one, remember I forgot to change my team. Well, round two, I was trying to do it on the district line into London, and I went into a tunnel. By the time I got out of the tube, I'd forgotten, so I haven't still changed it.
Well, you've still got until quarter to eight on Friday.
Well, yeah, so I'm hoping that my brain isn't too much, you know.
Well, let's hope you don't go onto another tube as well.
Well, yeah, the stop or work. Let's get this, you know, Champions Cup Fantasy League back on track, because I will destroy you by the end of the...
So is your team still the same from round one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's not. I think Nadolo's in my team.
There's an element of arrogance in the way he gets involved,
Nicky,
in this competition.
You would understand why if you'd seen the pitiful effort that Burridge had put in last year.
Yes, but we've reevaluated and we've changed. We've sacked a few
people. I haven't changed.
No, but obviously. And next week, I'll be able to have the last laugh again. You can check out Champions Fantasy Rugby on HeinekenChampionsCup.com. Now, don't forget to watch round three of the Heineken Champions Cup this weekend. All the matches are on BT Sport in the UK and Ireland. beIN Sports is the home of the Champions Cup in France, with the majority of fixtures from each round. FR Deux also have the Racing 92 Leicester Tigers match. Channel 4 in the UK and Virgin Media in Ireland will broadcast Exeter against Gloucester on free-to-air television. And in the US, you'll be able to see a round three game on NBC Sports, with all Heineken Champions Cup matches available on the NBC Sports Gold platform. So before we go, fellas, which is the match that you are most looking forward to watching, Tom?
I think I've probably got two, and I think they're in the same group.
Is it the Montpellier-Toulon match?
That's one of them, just to see if there are any points. And the other one is the Falcons game. I'd be really interested to see how they do up in Edinburgh.
Nicky, what about you?
I think the Gloucester-Exeter game, although I know it's two premiership sides, but I think in Europe, I really fancy that could be a big... I think it's a great opportunity for Gloucester to kind of show what kind of side they are. They've gone really well in the premiership, but to show it in Europe as well against Exeter would be massive, and probably end Exeter's chances as well, which would be a massive incentive for Gloucester as well.
And take the romantic element out of it and your loyalty to this team, but do you honestly think Cardiff can win at Saracens?
They can win. Do I think they will win? No, but I just think they've got enough talent there, they could create an upset. I don't think they will. I just hope that they put in a good performance. I'm going to be there watching, so I just hope that they get some of that kind of, you know, maybe this European Cup will bring back a bit of magic for them, because that they've been lacking a little bit of that this year.
What a shock it would be if they did manage to pull it off. Well, that's all we've got time for on the Champions Rugby Show. Don't forget, Heineken Champions Cup Round 3 gets underway with Edinburgh, Newcastle and Scarlets Ulster on Friday night, with 8 more great matches across the whole weekend. Stay up to date with the competition on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram, and go to HeinekenChampionsCup.com for the Champions Fantasy Rugby and all the best content. But for now, from Tom May, Nicky Robinson and myself, James Burridge, it's goodbye.